Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Everybody on the show that has a walk-up song has a good walk-up song, but Greenberg's hits. Every time I hear this, I'm like, I mean, I know Heavy Metal Chris is into this. Joining us now, as he does, is our friend Mr. Neil Greenberg. Hello, Neil. How do you do?
I'm doing super. How are you?
We are good, brother. Lots to discuss with your Washington Commanders. I said yesterday, I might have teased this, that this time last year, Commanders were 2-0, and the city was fired up. And you were catching shrapnel all over town because you said, yo, I know they're 2-0, but they still stink. You were proved correct.
Weekly, he said that.
By the way, you were proved correct. Now, they're 1-1, but I'm not so sure they stink. Where are we at?
Well, the numbers, like the betting markets and some of the underlying metrics, aren't real favorable for Washington. I have them as a bottom four team in that regard. But I think there's a lot of context that needs to be put around Washington and their performance and Jaden Daniels' performance, et cetera. I don't think this is a team that you can really kind of analyze with the metrics the way we can a more established team like the Bills or the Eagles. Mm-hmm. I think there's just a lot happening with Washington that is divorcing their actual performance from the underlying stats to what the coaches are trying to do with this team this season.
Mm. Explain that a little bit more.
Okay, so Jaden Daniels, his performance looks good or poor depending on what you're looking at. So, like, the game charts at Pro Football Focus have him as below average. ESPN's quarterback total quarterback rating has him below average. But he you can see the coaches are trying to bring him along slowly. So I'll give you an example. So in the first quarter of games, he's seeing a lot of zone coverage. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to get quicker passes out, you know, sometimes at or behind the line of scrimmage. His average depth of field isn't that far. So he's not going to look successful on paper doing that, but he's seeing zone coverage about 80% of the time in the first quarter. And then it starts to open up as, you know, the defenses see what he's doing, so then they kind of transition more to man coverage. So then he starts to open it up a little bit. We're seeing the offense open up. He's starting to take more shots down the field. And that progresses, and then they get maybe a little bit more conservative in the fourth quarter. But, you know, they're still kind of bringing him along. So I can see the vision of the coaching staff, what they're trying to do. And I don't necessarily think, like, the metrics matter because you have a rookie quarterback that they're trying to get to learn the NFL. So I don't really think that you can look at Washington and say they're 4 points worse than an average team or they're 2 points better than an average team. You have to look at them as saying this is a team in transition trying to bring along a rookie quarterback. Some games it's going to work, some games it isn't. But really the main thread for this season is get Jaden through the season healthy and see some progression from game one to game 17.
That said, where do you land on what we've seen so far from Jaden through two games?
I think he's looked good. I mean, he's running the football. He's showing that he can make some throws. He's obviously the best of the rookie quarterbacks this season. You know, Caleb Williams and Bo Nix are the two that come to mind. So I think he's doing fine. I mean, he doesn't have many what Pro Football Focus says are turnover-worthy throws. He only has one of those. Caleb Williams and Bo Nix have 9 combined. So I really do think there's a lot to like for what Jaden Daniels is doing. I'd like to see them open the offense a little bit more, a little bit earlier. But again, I mean, the coaching staff knows their players better than I do. So I think that so far he's looking really good.
I tend to agree with you. Sorry, go ahead, B.
No, I was like, The draft every year, we always talk about what people can't do. And I think analytics a little bit has come where you do things after the fact and you always talk about what somebody didn't do. What in analytics tell me about how good that a person is doing? I think even if they didn't do what the analytics say they should have done, but they had success, what happens and how do they calculate that?
You mean like how do we have perfect hindsight?
What I hear most times is what a person didn't do, what a person can't do. I want to hear what the hell he did do. Like, and I think
it's a good point. I mean, we're kind of always looking backwards. I think what Jaden is doing well, and what I think the analytics will kind of bear this out, is he's not getting himself into trouble. He's not making bonehead plays. You know, I know some people are criticizing maybe he's running too much, and I understand that argument. I don't know if I agree with the argument, but I understand it based on, you know, trying to keep him healthy and upright and all that other stuff. But I think Daniels is showing that he can navigate and make the transition from college to the pros. And, you know, we're seeing that that's not always the case with these quarterbacks that are taken high in the draft. Does he have stuff to work on? Of course, we all do.
Yeah.
But I do think that he is executing what the coaching staff is asking him to do, and that's be conservative earlier in the game, start to open it up, be able to read what's going on downfield, be able to read what the defenses are doing, and I think all that will be expressed in the analytics. Now you'll have to maybe hunt for those, right? Because like the all-in-one numbers may not be favorable for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that if at the end of the season, you know, you ask the coaching staff what were your goals at the beginning of the season, I think Daniels is going to check a lot of those boxes.
I think through two games, watching, being there, looking at the numbers, whatever metric you want to measure with Daniels, you got to be encouraged. And it's only two games. They got to play 15 more. He's got to stay healthy. But I keep going back to the fact that he doesn't turn the ball over. Oh, and by the way, he just led a game-winning drive. Like, there was once upon a time when, like, game-winning drives were stats that people kept track of, right? Now, that has all kind of shifted, and I know it's still on Pro Football Reference and stuff, but I don't know. The kid has shown a lot to me. I noticed a tweet you had that I need you to understand. You can follow Greenberg at N Greenberg. Mm-hmm. This is from Deep Value Better that you quote tweeted. EDP. Help me understand EDP. Not ED landfill. They got pills for that. EDP. EDP, where the Commanders land sixth.
Right, so what they're trying to do is they're trying to look at the drives and figure out what should the points have been at the end of the drive based on everything that happened, right? So, you know, football can be fluky, fumble, an errant bounce, knocks off the hands, flips into a defender, interception, et cetera. So they're looking at, you know, if we see 100 of these drives made up of these components, you know, a 6-yard pass, a 7-yard run, et cetera, you know, how many points should they come away with? And it just tries to get at the talent of the team and try to strip away a lot of the noise that we see from the fluky stuff that I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, Washington is sixth in that metric, which means that their drives are really solid. Now, they're 1-1, and maybe, you know, we're not seeing, like, the scoreboard part of it.
Yeah.
But from a X's and O's execution, things going the right way, Washington's doing a lot of the right things right. And ultimately, that's going to lead to success down the road. Now, it may not be in 2024, but what we're seeing is that Washington is becoming a very efficient team with this offense, which is surprising considering how many new parts they have.
I think when you look at Jaden and you look at the fact that they move the ball, they get into scoring position, just me looking at it, not worrying about no analytics or numbers, if they keep getting there, eventually they're going to get better at it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just I don't think I have to put numbers to know if a person keeps getting inside the 30, they're going to start getting in the end zone eventually.
Right, and that's exactly what this is trying to measure. So it's trying to measure that of, you know, a goal line fumble and it going the other way. It's still giving you credit for the drive, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think a lot of times we say, oh, that drive produced 0 points. But if you march 90 yards down the field, there was a lot of things that went right.
Yeah.
And that's what some of those metrics are trying to kind of give you. We see that in the NFL all the time. You know, week one, two teams winning without offensive touchdowns. Even though they were 1-0, you absolutely cannot rely on that type of success going forward. So that's kind of the similar type of thing that we're looking at with some of these metrics.
Neil, go ahead.
All the penalties that they had, I mean, these false starts, that derails a whole damn drive, and that pops up. Who do they get charted up to or blamed to?
Well, you got to blame the coaching staff, I think, in some ways to kind of, you know, get them prepared for that. We talked about earlier a lot of new parts, a lot of new faces. So it's just the timing of it. I mean, everyone's learning how to play together. I know they had some preseason games, but it's nothing like regular season football. I'm not surprised by those type of penalties. I'd much rather see those type of penalties, which I think could be corrected, than, you know, just constant defensive interference or just these plays that, you know, you want to just tear into a player and you'd bench him if you could, and it just drives you insane.
Yes.
So I look at those as being correctable. You know, you can go in the film room, you can practice that with cadence and all that other stuff. But again, I mean, there's going to be growing pains. Better those type of growing pains than Jaden Daniels throwing 5 interceptions or just absolutely missing reads down the field.
I'm with you there. I think offensively there's real reasons for optimism. You got any reasons for optimism defensively?
Boy, this defense is a conundrum. I mean, it's the secondary mostly. Right. I mean,
is it the secondary mostly? Because see, people say that. I think that's the easy thing to say.
Well, because, yeah, I mean,
the consistent pressure is not on the quarterback either.
Yeah, I look. The defense is tough. I mean, the run defense is good. Is very good. I think that their tackling could be better. I think that the pass rush could be better. I think those two things, you know, kind of, if you can't tackle, the defense is going to look a lot worse, right? It doesn't really matter what else that you do. You can have perfect coverage. If you're not able to tackle, then it's all going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's just a lot of things on defense that need to be addressed. It's really surprising because a couple of years ago we were talking about how good this defense was and, you know, had all the parts and, oh, if they could just get the offense together, everything's going to be good. But that's what happens with the NFL. So I think, you know, tackling would probably be a major concern, if you want to give the secondary some slack, which I understand. But I think that tackling could be a real issue.
That is. Let's zoom out. Or quickly, how are you feeling about Monday Night Football against the Bengals for this team?
That's a tough one. I like the Bengals. I don't like the number necessarily, but I like the Bengals even though they're 0-2. But again, you don't know which Washington team is going to show up. You don't know if it's going to be the one that is trying to get the kinks out of the offense, or is it one where they say, you know what, we're opening it up from snap number one. Jaden, go do your thing. The defense can hold it together. And next thing you know, maybe you have a tight game going into the fourth quarter. So, you know, again, I mean, it's really hard to read what's going to happen with Washington. Do I think Cincinnati is the better team? Yes. But do I think there's an absolute scenario where Washington can come in and start playing the type of football that they want to play and they kind of take the training wheels off, for lack of a better term, off of Jaden Daniels and the offense, and they're very competitive in this game? I can absolutely see that, too.
I would love to see that.
fantasy question for you. I have Goff. Sam Darnold is available. Lamphill hates Sam Darnold with a burning passion. Can we trust Sam Darnold? Should I pick up Sam frickin' Darnold?
I do like Sam Darnold. I think that offense is really working out well. I actually like Sam Darnold's passing yards prop on the over. I think he'd probably be at like 245 yards. It opened up at 218. It's at like 220 now. Yeah, I think people are looking at that game against the Giants, but he didn't pass in the fourth quarter. So, like, the passing numbers were down. I think that he can absolutely run this offense. I do like Darnold way better than Goff. So, I would make that switch for sure.
Can I cut Jeff Wilson Jr. from the Dolphins? I'm doing this in real time, Greenberg.
All right, well, you had a good run, Wilson Jr., but time for you to go.
Who's the best team in football?
Oh, who's the best team in football that no one will admit to? Let's see. I think you got to go with the Chiefs until they prove you wrong. But New Orleans Saints looks really good.
Can they keep that going?
I think so.
Because I'm getting sick of all my friends from Louisiana calling me now.
I think they can. I think that they are a team that, because they play in the NFC South and we have some other big names out there that we can make excuses for, but I do think the Saints are the real deal.
All right. Wow. Saints the real deal, and you're telling me to start Sam Darnold. What the hell's going
on? Start him and don't look back. Hey, I also told you not to draft Christian McCaffrey number one, remember?
You were right. I just...
Yeah, he stays hurt.
Listen, I picked Darnold up. I don't know that I can start him yet. And the Lions have a game against the Cardinals, straight shootout city out there in the desert.
Yo, Greenberg, how much money are you getting from JP if his team wins? I mean, because he constantly asks you questions all the time about how to build his team.
Friendship is my reward, B. Mitch.
Greenberg, if I win a title in either of my fantasy leagues, I could send you a $25 gift card to Five Guys, or you and I
don't
could go
need
out.
Any reward but can, your
don't say
friendship.
That, mate.
We could drink beers after a Caps game. How about that?
All I need is friendship and retweet my YouTube video that's going to be coming out later on Parlays.
Done. Parlays are dumb. Don't do them. That's the truth.
That's right. That's the gist of it.
Greenberg, thank you, dude. Always appreciate having you.
All right. Love you guys.
All right, bro. Take care, man.
That's our boy, Neil Greenberg. Give him a follow, at N Greenberg. Nobody go anywhere. Just getting warmed up.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Shout out to Nucci. Gave me this front porch t-shirt. We got episode 2 of All Ears tonight, B. I'm excited.
All right. What's our main topic tonight?
I got an interview with Zach Ertz. Was the leading receiver in Sunday's game, announced some really cool charity work he's going to do.
Cool.
I think we're trying to format the audio for radio, and I think we're going to run the interview. Ertz is a cool dude, and dude, I respect the hell out of like veteran players. Like Eckler's the same way. Like these dudes know what the job is. They know what they have to put in professionally, and that's by a mile their focus.
Mm-hmm.
They understand how the media functions, and that. All right, like Eckler, I think is really good. He's like, all right, guys, let's do this, and he'll wait for everybody to get there. He's not going to start early for then somebody else to come in later and be like, sorry if this has been asked. Like that's not going to happen.
He understands.
He's going to wait when everybody's ready. He's going to answer your questions, and then he's going to get out of there.
We'll get the hell out of
there. Yeah,
I don't blame him.
Yeah, dude, these vets know what they're doing, man. Speaking of things we're learning, right? Let's go around the NFL. Pick a division, Brian. Any division.
NFC East.
NFC East it is.
Hell yeah.
Well, I got to scroll, but I've made it. This is from CBS Sports. We're talking surprises for all 32 teams.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what the surprise is for them boys, the Dallas Cowboys?
Yes, I want to know. You tell me.
No big plays. Cowboys offense has typically been a big play offense, and they're just not getting them. Besides what I'm reading now, besides wide receiver CeeDee Lamb, who will provide the Cowboys chunk plays through two games, Lamb has two of the Cowboys' four plays of 20 yards or more. He also has two of the three runs of 10 yards or more. That, to me, is really problematic. Tony Pollard was a...
He was a playmaker.
Yeah. Now, did he fight injuries, all that? Yes.
Yeah.
But that run game lacks explosion.
Well, Zeke is not explosive. Not anymore.
Rico Dowdle.
Who?
Yes. The Cowboys' current run game is probably akin to like Mitch Tischler's vertical jump. I would not call it explosive.
How high you think his vertical jump really is?
He's an athlete, though. That's not what I asked you.
I'm asking you what you think he would give you in the vertical.
What's reasonable? 10 inches?
Depending on what you're talking about.
I don't know.
I don't know.
What's reasonable for a 40-year-old dude's vertical?
Not for Mitch. I'm talking about Mitch because I'm a 56-year-old dude. My vertical better than his, way better.
Sure.
So what I'm saying is what you think his vertical would be.
Eight inches.
Eight?
Yeah.
All right.
Mitch, text me your vertical. I didn't mean to drag you into this. I'm curious now what mine would be.
Yeah, that's 8 inches, bro.
I think he's got that.
He better have that. He don't have a vertical.
What is normal then? 10?
No, normal. Normal 15? Is not. Normally double digits up in the 20s, 30s when people start.
See, now you're judging NFL players.
I'm just judging athletes.
I'm judging regular. What I'm trying to say is the Cowboys don't have much of a run.
All right, cool. You say Mitch and vertical. I'm just saying I don't see why you put those two things together.
What do you think the surprise is for the New York Giants, B?
Probably their defense.
They can't stop the run.
Yeah.
They're averaging 163 rush yards.
They're giving up that much. Wow.
.163? And, dude, they haven't played the Niners and the Eagles. They played the Vikings and the Commanders.
Yeah.
And the Commanders might have a legit run game.
Yeah. I think you got
Dexter Lawrence.
You have to feed my man B Rob a little bit more than they have. He can he'll beat the hell out of people and he'll allow Eckler to come in late on and clean it up.
You remember in the Hard Knocks when Brian Daboll? Clearly they were doing it for the cameras, but they had to like tell him how they found their new D coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Yeah, we got this guy from Tennessee, Shane Bowen." And he started reading off the stats. And typically in that moment, if you're going to read off the stats, you'd think they'd be really impressive.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, "Yeah, man, they were 14th in red zone field goal percentage." And
he didn't read it before he decided to pick it up.
11th in third down stops. Like, there was nothing impressive.
Wait,
like, it was
top,
all okay.
Top half of the league.
Yeah. But I don't know that it's like, oh, I got to go hire this guy. He's 12th in
he hired him at a point where, percentage. You know, they didn't really have a lot of people left out there. Like, people expect us to just get people now and improve something. That's what he was thinking. Didn't work.
This one to me is very, very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
What is the surprise of the Eagles season thus far?
Their defense is horrible.
Bro, they get no pressure.
Their defense is horrible, man.
Well, I mean, it's to your point about everybody hammers the Washington secondary, but there's no pressure up front.
Yeah. If you don't get pressure up front, your secondary, I don't care who you have back there, they're not going to be good.
They gave Bryce Huff $50 million. And it's not working. Jalen Carter was the guy so many were excited for out of Georgia. He's hardly disrupting games. He's been better than Huff, but only because Huff is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at how Pittsburgh got to Kirk in week one versus how Philly got to him Monday night.
They didn't.
Different universe.
They didn't get to him.
They sure as hell didn't get to him on the last-minute touchdown drive.
Nah.
All right. Washington. Your Washington Commanders. Man, this makes me look smart. This is from ESPN, I believe, Landini? Yeah, because it's written by John Cotton. The early surprise for Washington. You got a guess? Let me just read.
Just read.
Running backs Austin Eckler and tight end Zach Ertz have made an immediate impact. Accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Ertz was the leading receiver this past game. And maybe save Jaden from throwing his first pick. That ball kind of floated, and Ertz just got physical and brought it home.
Yeah, he got hit right when he was letting that thing go. He couldn't step into it.
Yeah, I'm not blaming him, but it still could have been his first pick.
Yeah.
Eckler's been slippery and fast and strong.
But that's how he's been his whole career. He had a down year last year, but the dude has been damn good the rest of the time he's been in this league.
I love the opportunity. What Dan Quinn and Adam Peters are trying to build is a mindset, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Ertz said it to me on record in an interview more than once about having a chip on his shoulder because the league thinks I'm washed. Eckler didn't go as bluntly as that, but he said about the same thing. He's like, everybody's convinced I can't play. Last year, I had high ankle sprains on both ankles, yeah. And he still went over 1,000 yards from scrimmage.
Basically the same thing. Basically said the exact same thing.
I think a little dash of that
yeah.
from dudes that do it right. If you have a chip on your shoulder and feel like you're wronged, and because of that, you dog it in the film room or
Eckler
don't commit the time, these dudes are...
His chip has been on his shoulder ever since he got in the league.
Has to be. You're an undrafted guy. Yeah. I mean, and you know what was interesting talking to Ertz is, I believe he played his college ball at Stanford when Harbaugh was the coach. And whatever Jim Harbaugh is or isn't, that dude is a motivator for people that are willing to ride with him. Mm-hmm. If you will buy into Harbaugh, he's going to make a lasting impression on your life.
Mm-hmm.
And Ertz said, every day you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
Yeah.
And that dude just works his ass off.
Yeah, you're supposed to. I mean, everyone comes into this league and they assume what it is. And what am I saying to you all the time? It's easy to get there. It's hard to stay. If you're not working, you're not staying.
You got a surprise for the Commanders so far, Landini? Anything surprise you? Nope. I'd say the offensive line has been a little bit better than maybe folks were expecting, and I'd say specifically Biadasz, badass at center,
has been really good.
He
comes in with a great track record. I think the thing about it is you see that the quarterback and O-line, the way they work and how the quarterback handles the ball and what he does, that works hand in hand. You can't blame one person all the way and the line all the way. Sometimes the line blocks and the quarterback holds on. Sometimes the quarterback is ready to throw and the offensive line don't block anybody. But you see how Jaden and that crew works kind of hand in hand, and that makes everybody look better.
Heavy Metal, any big surprises for you through two games for the Commanders?
Nothing too major surprise. I think they're progressing pretty well, which is good because you always have that feeling that, man, they could just crash and burn right out the gate, and they haven't really done that yet. So,
well, good thing that kid made 7 kicks, or the conversation might be different.
Yeah.
Something very cool happened for Washington, for Austin Eckler, and for the community. We'll tell you what it is next. 067 The Fan. Exciting news for one of you. I guess two of you. Or one of you plus one. Caller number 10 right now. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. You win 2 tickets to Caps 50 Fest. Join the Caps for 50 Fest featuring Third Eye Blind. Celebrate the Caps 50th anniversary on Thursday, October 10th at Capital One Arena. Caps 50 Fest will have over 60 alumni in attendance, the Caps' current roster, photo opportunities, entertainment, and a concert by Third Eye Blind. Tickets are only $19.74. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events. You see that video on Instagram? I think yesterday was Ovi's birthday.
Yeah.
And they brought back the old black jersey with the eagle on the front. That's dope. So to the Caps folks, maybe you're listening. When you send out that swag, make sure the prison cell studio
make sure
gets
we get
two.
One.
Yeah. Those are dope. Landini, some good news for Austin Eckler yesterday.
I saw that.
I thought it was pretty cool, man. I think it's cool whenever Washington players get recognized in a national audience. Good Morning Football is certainly a national audience. Kyle Brandt does the angry runs. It's become a pretty big, you know, I think fans get into it. I think people get into it. This is Kyle Brandt talking about Austin Eckler.
Austin Eckler, really? New in town, down the sideline, and showing us something I've never seen in this segment, which is a flying knee. Boom! I've never seen that before. This is an incredible aerial assault. This is amazing. This is a Masvidal in MMA, game bred, 3-second knockout. That's like Sagat in Street Fighter, the Tiger uppercut. Sagat. He's still standing up there. Austin Eckler did damage. The Commanders got the win. I have really never seen somebody go down the sideline. Do I go out of bounds? Do I cut back inside? I think I just elevate. It's like he was gonna jump over him, but then he met him midair and just decided it was gonna be a collision. Austin Eckler, known as PFP, pound for pound, the strongest player in the NFL. He does those one-arm pull-up things. They're absolutely crazy. He was doing one in midair against the Giants. That's Austin Eckler. That's a poster.
I like it. Brett gets fired up, man.
Oh, he's fired up. I saw the thing. I saw it. It was cool. It was cool.
Yeah, the run was great. I kind of think B-Rob ran angrier, especially the one short yardage. Yeah,
the lady on the show actually said she gave B-Rob some kudos.
Okay, good. Yeah. So that's interesting. Also, some news from the NFL that is relevant to us, B. The NFL released the list of 150 finalists to be considered.
Yeah, I heard
167 names to be considered for the Pro Football Hall of Fame 2025 class. Your name is on there. Congratulations, sir.
Merci.
London Fletcher's name also on there. Very cool news. There's a bunch
of... Big condolences to London.
What's that?
London's wife passed away.
His wife did?
Yeah.
Oh, my
condolences gosh. Condolences to him.
I knew there was something. I didn't know what it was. So, yeah, absolutely, Art. Oh, my God. We'll have to talk about that off air. There are a number of players eligible for the first time. Among them, guys that I think could really get in, Joe Staley, Marshall Yanda, Marshawn Lynch, Luke Kuechly, I think, gets in. Terrell Suggs, I think, gets in. Maybe Earl Thomas. There's an interesting special teamer on here that I wanted to ask you about, Adam Vinatieri.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of big kicks. A lot of Super Bowls won.
A lot of Super Bowl ones by him. But everybody talk about Tom Brady. Hey, he was the one kicking that field goal down the stretch for him a lot.
I think what the player, the name that will end up being by far the most, I don't want to say controversial, but perhaps polarizing and definitely the most interest surrounding, Eli Manning.
Yeah. Eli had some great moments in the playoffs, but I don't think his regular seasons lived up to a lot of the hype. But people always say it's about getting to the big one and winning it. He won two.
Eli's two Super Bowls were
outstanding.
More impressive than Peyton's, honestly. Yeah. Like Peyton
the second one, Peyton was along for the ride.
Yeah, dude. Totally.
He was in the wagon and somebody was pulling it.
Right. He was the shotgun rider there. Eli had some seasons that were really good, but he threw a lot of picks, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not just as a young quarterback. In 2013, when he was 32 years old, he threw 27 interceptions.
Didn't Peyton lose a couple of Super Bowls there, too? And I don't think Eli ever did.
Peyton lost.
Eli beat the Patriots twice.
Twice.
I think Eli's 2-0. I think Peyton's 2-2.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he lost to the Saints when he was with the Colts, and then they lost to the Seahawks when he was with the Broncos.
Yeah.
I think Peyton was the better player.
I mean, clearly.
We'll do should and will here with Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame. Should Eli get in? Will he get in? Landini, you start.
I'm going to say should, no. Will, yes.
I kind of agree with Landfill.
I think he was, he had some really good moments, but there was an awful lot of awful in Eli Manning's career.
I have to say, though, the two passes he threw.
Iconic. The David Tyree catch?
The Tyree catch was one, but the ones he put like right out of bounds where nobody could catch it but this guy?
That thing
was put perfectly. But
he showed up big in big moments.
Yeah, you look at the moment and overall, and you look at some other people, you probably would say no, but the mere fact that his daddy played, his brother played, he's going to be in.
He's getting in.
Yeah.
I think it happens. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't get in first ballot. Enough old school writers will kind of like buck against that. He's getting in. I think when Kurt Warner went in, really changed kind of what constitutes a Hall of Fame quarterback. Kurt Warner was really great for a short glimpse of time. Kurt Warner went to three Super Bowls, won one, I believe. Mm-hmm. That's off the top of my head. But Kurt Warner threw a ton of interceptions at various times in his career,
mm-hmm.
and voters were able to kind of get past that. And I feel like with quarterbacks, people will celebrate the highs more than they will other positions.
That's what I'm saying. In the Super Bowl, two for two? I mean, two for two? You normally they'll get over the hump.
And New York doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Damn straight.
And
already know Mara runs the league, so.
Hold on. The one thing about Kurt Warner I want to say is he was one of the first quarterbacks to go to the Super Bowl with two different teams. Now, he didn't win the one with the Cardinals, but that was still like, you know, Tom Brady hadn't done that yet. Peyton Manning hadn't done that yet. It was still like a very rare accomplishment.
Yeah, it was a rare accomplishment, but, you know, But that team he won it with, they almost beat the Steelers too.
They almost beat that Steelers when they're on the Cardinals. So.
Was it his interception that went 99?
Yeah, but one of the reasons they didn't is because of that pick six throw.
That's very true. Yeah.
You just went against your argument, dog.
I know, but I remember watching that game. It was such a good game.
How much money you had on the Giants that game? I mean, on the Rams that game? Because it seemed like he bet on the Rams, didn't he?
No, I'm talking about the Cards one, though.
But when the Cardinals, you look like you bet on the Cards.
So I used to live in Phoenix, so I was a Cardinals fan.
That's what it was. He had money on it.
I got something for you. Sorry, Heavy Metal. And I don't know, frankly, who this dude is. Ever heard of Craig Morton? In Super Bowl V, Craig Morton started for the Cowboys against Johnny Unitas and the Baltimore Colts. And then again, in Super Bowl XII, 1977, Craig Morton started for the Broncos against Roger Staubach and the Dallas Cowboys.
Sure. I just mean, like, it's a really rare thing for any quarterback to play on two systems to go to the Super Bowl.
We will not stand for Craig Morton slander. Nobody go anywhere.